Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Hallelujah. So the Bible study groups are important because that's how the church began. Are you listening to me? And when I say the church, I don't mean this church. I mean the body of Christ, the church. That's how the church began. It began through Bible study groups. Amen. So, in fact, they didn't even call them Bible study groups. They called them churches. And these churches were in people's homes. Amen. So normally when a church starts, we can't build a big building and say, this is our church. Normally there's no funds, there's no finance. Normally there are not enough people to build a big building. So we start in a small place. And back then, they started in people's homes. People would say, my home is available, we can have church in my home. And that's how the Christian faith became what it is. Hallelujah. That's how it spread across the world. So it's important that we mirror the same thing. Hallelujah. What was number two? Iron sharpeneth iron. There's a lady who gave us a testimony during the week. Because I said a lot of Christians, your best friend is a heathen, serial unbeliever, nowhere close to knowing God, and is your best friend. So one person in the church during the week was with one of those friends, and when they were talking, you know, she was trying to say some spiritual things, and the way they shut her down, then she realized that, hey, actually I need some godly friends. Hallelujah. So ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. You cannot be a strong Christian if you are around people who are not Christians. You need other people who love the Lord. Sometimes you need other people who love God more than you, so that they can push you, so that they can, you know, drive you. The person who led me to Christ is my friend. My friend led me to Christ. Do you understand? So, Bible study groups help us to be around other people who will sharpen us, who will make us stronger Christians. Number three. That's where you recognize that you are part of God's family. Amen. Number four. You will be able to choose some good friends. Amen. Number five. God is in the Bible study groups. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, say, God is there. Number six. You will have prayer partners. Amen. Haven't you noticed sometimes you don't feel like praying? Right? So if you are in a Bible study group, you will have someone who will encourage you. Now let's continue fighting. Let's continue praying. Amen. Number seven. You will have a chance to serve God. Amen. All right. Put your hands together for the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the things that we teach and we preach and the direction that we give is extremely important. Are you listening to me? Now, we do not give this direction just to oppress you and to make your life a living hell. But we do the things that we do and say the things that we say because we love you. And because we want you, first and foremost, to have an eternal future. Someone say eternal future. And secondly, we want your life to go well. One lady told me the other day that before she started coming to our church, you know, she was a different person altogether. To the point that her husband said, since you started going to that church, things are much better now. Because in that house, they were even boxing each other. What a shock. And her coming here, she learned that it's not good boxing with my husband. Do you understand? And suddenly her family life started improving, started getting better. So first and foremost, we want your soul and your spirit to be guaranteed to go to heaven. But secondly, we want your stay here on earth to be one of power, one of authority, one of, you know, life, where you can enjoy life being a child of God. Hallelujah. So today I want to encourage you, you know, that there are certain things that you have to do and you have to understand so that the Bible study groups can work for you. Because some of these things that we do, you find that they work for some people, but they don't work for other people. So you must have a certain mindset, and there are things that you have to do for these things to work for you. Do you understand? Now, first and foremost, for this Bible study journey that we are starting, for it to work for you in terms of your spiritual life and in terms of your day-to-day life, you have to believe. Tell your neighbor, I must believe. Turn your Bibles to the book of John chapter 6 and verse 28. John chapter 6, verse 28. Let's start in verse 1. Let's start in verse 1. John chapter 6 from verse 1. I'm happy to see so many Bibles in church. Put your hands together for yourselves. Beautiful, beautiful looking church. Hallelujah. Some churches, people are armed with anointing oil, but they don't have a Bible. Some churches are armed with water, but they don't have a Bible. First things, tell you never say, first things first. Get a Bible. All right, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. Now remember, there was about 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and there's 5,000 men. And it was not men only there. There was men, there was children, there was women. Hallelujah. Verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to his disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea towards Capernaum, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, "It is I, be not afraid." Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Verse 22. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said, "Rabbi, when comest thou hither?" Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him had God the Father sealed." Verse 28. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him that he hath sent." Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the word of God. Now, I did a lot of reading there so that I can explain. Now, that chapter starts by Jesus feeding over 5,000 people from about 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Huge miracles. These fishes were not whales. They were small fishes. Do you understand? And through faith and through prayer, the food was multiplied to the point that thousands can eat from it. Now, after feeding them, the people, because they saw this miracle, they wanted to take him by force, according to scripture, and make him a king. And Jesus knew that he's not an earthly king. He's a divine king. And that his kingdom is not here on the earth, but his kingdom is in heaven. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so he refused and he ran away. And they went over to the other side through ship. Now the next morning, these people were still drunk with that miracle that they were able to eat 5,000 plus of them from 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So they searched for Jesus until they found him. When they found him, Jesus said, "Listen, you only are looking for me because you ate some food yesterday." Jesus said, "Don't labor for food that perisheth." Many believers, even in their faith, they come to church for food that perisheth. Many believers, you know, one day I was driving with a white guy. We were going to a meeting. And as we were driving, a taxi driver came, and you know taxi drivers, or you don't know them. And he came and, you know, just stopped in front of us. And that white guy was angry. And I said to him, calm down, calm down. You don't understand because you didn't catch taxis. If you caught taxis when you are young, you are not going to be angry. Because I've been in a taxi before. And the taxi driver was following the road rules nicely. Do you understand? And people started talking. Yo, says I was late. Namhlanje. Driver A. So the driver, when he had he now came to the yellow lane and he had to drive the way he was driving. He didn't have a choice. Do you understand what I'm saying? So some of these drivers, they don't drive that way because they want to. But sometimes the pressure that is inside is forcing them to do the things that they are doing. And there are some men and women of God who misbehave, not because they are bad people, but the pressure they are receiving from the church. Because today's Christians, they want to make men and women of God to be magicians. We are not magicians. We are servants of the living God. There's nothing that we can do. It is God who does everything. So people, they come looking for bread that perisheth. This year, if you want to break through, don't be the type of Christian who looks for bread that perisheth. Look for bread that is everlasting, eternal. That satisfies the soul and the spirit. So, the reason why we are guiding you to participate and be part of these Bible study groups, we want to separate you from being the type of Christian who looks just for bread like those other ones. But we want you to be the type of Christian who is hungering for the word of God, who is hungry for life, who wants to secure their divine position in heaven. Your amens are not blessing me. There are people who come to church and say, hey, what's Pastor Kola? Pastor Kola kuluma kakhulu. Akasithandazeli. My anointing is in my teaching. There's so much power in what I'm saying. Oh, you want me to become a magician now? Those things work. And the Lord is in those things. But it mustn't be that every day we just come for... Every day when you come to church, even now, the prophet, indeed he's a prophet, indeed he's anointed, but the way you are driving him, now he even has to make up prophecies. Because if he just comes and shares with you the word of God, you feel like, hey, today I didn't come to church. Hey, no, pastor wasn't prophesying today. Sometimes you must just receive the word of God. Hallelujah. So you have to believe in this direction that we are giving. And you have to believe in what it will do for you. Are you listening to me? Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, do you believe? What are they saying? So for this new direction that we are giving of Bible study groups to work for you, first and foremost, believe in what we are doing. Believe in the results that it will produce. Do you understand? Don't be, you know, they call our generation, they call us the microwave generation. And what that means is that we are a generation that wants things done like this. Don't have that type of mentality. Anything that is good takes time. Anything that is lasting takes time. Satan specializes on shortcuts. One day the Lord told me, he said, Mister, if you take shortcuts, you will always go back to where you started. And if you look at your life clearly, everywhere where you took a shortcut, you got hurt. And you will get hurt if you're a shortcut person. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So be in a Bible study group. Come on time. If the Bible study group starts at 6, be there at 6. If in the Bible study group we are playing, be there and play. Don't be there to look at people like Benzan Laband. Be there and play. And don't pray like you don't know. You don't want to pray. If you don't want to pray, stay at home, okay? Only those who want to grow in the Lord must come to the Bible study groups. Only those who want to grow in the Word of God must come. Those who are there to be agents to watch what we are doing, stay at home, please. We don't need agents to be part of us. Can I hear a proper amen, assembly? When we are sharing scriptures, because the Bible study group setting, there's no main speaker who will stand and teach. We are all sharing. So when it's your time to share, don't say, Hey man, just say that me, I read Matthew chapter 1 verse 1. And it says this, and this is what I've learned. I think you can do that. True or not true? Very simple. But you just come there and you look at us as though we have done something to you. That we are even afraid to share our things now because the way you are looking at us. You understand? Yeah, put your hands together. I like it. And when we are praying, when we are saying, okay, if you have a prayer topic, you say, no, I don't have. From January to December, you don't have a prayer topic. Ganjan. Every day, you don't have a prayer topic. You don't desire something for your life. You don't wish something for your life. You don't wish something for your family. You don't have any problems at all. It can't be possible. We all are going through something. We all want to achieve something. We all want to get somewhere. So when it's time to say, if you have any prayer topics, please share your prayer topic. Tell them, I'm writing exams next week, Bazalwane. Please, I need prayers. Then we'll pray for you. Oh God, we pray. Any foul demonic power that wants to prevent this man from passing, Lord, we cast it out in the name of Jesus. There's no way you can fail. There's no way. Unless you watch TV. There's no demon. The TV demon is too strong for us. We can't cast it out. You were saying amen nicely until I mentioned TV. When it's time for you to study, you watch TV. When it's time for you to study, you go to your friends. You will fail. Even if we can take all the anointing oil, we say, no, ladies and gentlemen, something serious is happening in church. Come, sister, and we all pour that oil on you. You will not pass. It doesn't work like that. You must study. Are you listening to me, somebody? Number two. You have to be committed. You must be committed. To be committed means you have to be loyal. You have to be faithful. Come with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 92, and verse 13. Psalms 92, verse 13. Are we there? The Bible says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Hallelujah. Those who are what? Those who are planted. They are the ones that are going to flourish. Flourish means to be successful. Flourish means to be wealthy. flourish means to do well. The Bible says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord, they are the ones that are going to flourish. What does planted mean? Planted means to be planted, like a tree is planted. Now, if we take a small tree, right? And we planted here today. And a few days later, we say, actually, we don't like the trees here. I think they will look better that side. Then we take it out and we go plant it that side. About a week or two later, we say, there's too much sun here. Let's go now plant it this side. And we keep taking it out and planting it somewhere else, taking it out. Will that tree ever grow? It won't have the time to develop roots properly. And it won't have time to grow. Now, a lot of people, one of the reasons, you know, some people, many people, Mamruti, they think that by a lawyer. And for most people, no one is lawyering you at all. No one is bewitching you at all. You are the main witch in your own life. Yeah. Because you can never do one thing for long enough. You start something, as you are busy working on it, before you know it, you abandon it. Now you are on something else. Now, when you are there, and now we're starting to support you to say that maybe this person is now serious with this, before you know it, you're on something else. In this life, for you to do well, for you to succeed, you have to be committed to whatever you have told yourself that you are doing. You know, some of these big businesses that I see around the world, some of them, when you go to some of these businesses, you will see since 1930 something. Since 1912, the people have been making cars. Making cars since 1912. Till today, they are making cars. Since 19, you realize that these people, they've been doing business for a long time. It's not that they just start and then tomorrow now they are doing weddings. And then the other day, now they are doing, hey. So for anything to work for you, you have to be committed and loyal to it. Amen. Loyal. Today you want to be a musician. And we know that it's tough to be a musician. But because you know you are showing passion, we support you. While we are supporting you, say, no, now I'm an artist, I draw. Yeah, man. Amen. Okay. You are drawing now. We are supporting you now. And now we are saying words of encouragement that, look, your drawings are very nice. Before you know it, no, I want to be a policeman. I want to. Listen, you are wasting your life. You are wasting your life. This is how life works, ladies and gentlemen. Choose something that you love and something that you are good at. Because some of the people, they say, I want to be a singer. But when they start opening their mouths, they say, oh, Jesus. Mateke baraba shata kapa lo santa yakatos. I not so long, I just keep doing it, my brother, my friend. Okay. Something that you are good in, that you are passionate in, do it. Through the lows, keep doing it. Through the highs, keep doing it. Become excellent in it. To the point that when they are looking for someone who can sing, they find you. When they are looking for someone who can, I don't know what it is that you are passionate for, but do it and be loyal towards it. Amen. Now spiritually it works the same way. You have to commit. If you want to have a relationship with God, you want to be close to God, you want to hear His voice, You want to be a carrier of his presence and his power and his word. You can't be serious in January, then February, March, April, May, June, July, you are not serious. Then we see you in September. And also in September, you know, you are like a shadow. You don't want to commit. You can't grow. Growth doesn't happen like that. Because I know the reason why we are doing these Bible study groups, I know what they can produce. Your life can be transformed. Your life can be empowered and changed forever. But you have to commit. You have to be loyal towards it. Let me show you another scripture. Come to Matthew 25, verse 23. Pindukulu memoya oyinwele Pindukulu mengo si Matthew 25 verse 23, are we there? The Bible says, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. That word faithful means loyal. That word faithful means a committed person. Someone you can rely on. Someone you can trust. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So this promotion that this person is experiencing has come after years of faithfulness. After years of faithfulness. One day somebody came to my church on his first or second day of coming to church. I was standing outside greeting people who are coming to church, and he came and stood next to me and he said, Pastor, You are preaching well, I see. You are preaching well. But if you can just give me a mic, before you come and preach, just give me the mic so that I can prophesy. I couldn't believe it. I said, first and foremost, who are you? I don't know you. And let's say indeed you are a good prophet. Okay, let's say you are. There are so many people who have been helping me for years who have never stood and tasted the mic. Then you want to jump all of them. Someone we don't know. What are the people going to have? What are they going to say to me? Many of them will leave me. Even if they don't say anything, they will be hurt. Pastor, we've been with you. When you call prayer, we come. When we call fasting, we come. When you are building, when you are cleaning the church, we come. Now some guy we don't know suddenly is now preaching to us. Amen. Prophesying. It doesn't work like that. You have to be committed. You have to be faithful. You have to show that you are with us. Over time, then we will trust you. And we will know who you are, so that when you come and take our mic, we know what you are going to say. You are not going to surprise us and say that God has three heads. So what are you saying now? Get out of our pulpit in Jesus' name. Nonsense. Hallelujah. So as we are beginning this home Bible study groups, as you start going to them, please tell yourself, I'm going to commit to this thing. Okay? Some of us, we commit because, you know, we don't have any other things to do. I want you to commit. Even if you become the biggest whatever, still come. Even if you become the next Ramaphosa. Well, if your Bible study group meets on Wednesday at 6, therefore, tell them that, okay, I've got a very important meeting. Amen. I'm going to see you at 8 o'clock. Then you come, have your Bible study group, then you go back to your meetings, if you are such an important person. Amen. You can't be too big, too big. You are so big that you don't have time for God. Yeah. If there's something called pride, you have gone beyond. I don't know what it's called. That you have your time has become more important than for God. You can't spend 1 hour a week. Some now, you know, as they go to, some are going to start university, some are going to matric. So it's like, whew, pastor, I'm in matric now. Okay, then what? I've also been in matric. The world doesn't end in matric. The world doesn't end in university. The world doesn't end when you start working. The world doesn't end when you get married. Why, when you are getting married now, God, we must forsake God? No matter what, how your life changes, still be committed. Do you understand? Because I can promise you, even if you're in matric, you don't study 24 hours a day. I've never seen it before. It doesn't work like that. The reason why many people don't do well at school is because when the exam is there, and this is like weeks, sometimes months before the exam, they watch TV, play with friends. Time is getting closer. They're watching TV, playing with friends, sleeping. Then one day before exam, now they want to miraculously put everything into their brain. All of a sudden now, all of us must stop what we are doing because we are writing exam. Amen. Study before time. Amen. And you always have time for God. Amen. Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor,
amen,
be committed.
Be faithful.
Be faithful. Be loyal.
Be loyal.
Put your hands together for Jesus. Number three, you must ignore mockers. Ignore mockers, people who are mockers. M-O-C-K-E-R-S. Come with me to the book of Nehemiah chapter 10. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 10. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 10. Now, you know the story of Nehemiah, how that Israel, and more specifically Jerusalem, the enemies came, they destroyed the city, and they destroyed the walls of the city. And so when Nehemiah found out, he determined in his heart that he will go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the city. And more specifically, rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. So in his mission to rebuild, this is what he encounters. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 10. When Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it. In other words, heard that these people want to build a wall. It grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So when these guys found out that there are some people who want to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, the Bible says they were hurt. It hurt them. That someone wanted that it must be well with Israel. There are people that when they see you start growing spiritually, it hurts them. Like, they don't want it. What? We are what? Nonsense. There are some people, when you are getting married, when we are celebrating for you, some of them, waiting, Dari. What a shock. You don't believe there are people like that. You'd be surprised. Some of them is your best friend. Your best bomber. When you are telling him, waiting, Pinchaga. I'm getting married. So I know, well done, Fanaga, well done. The minute you turn, bonus trailer say. I give him 5 weeks. 5 weeks, I know him. In 5 weeks, he will not be there. There are people like that. So this Sambalat, this Tobiah, when they heard that there are people who want to rebuild Jerusalem, they were, the Bible even says that, you know, they were hurt. It grieved them. Let's jump to verse 18. Same Nehemiah chapter 2, but verse 18. The Bible says, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So Nehemiah now has convinced other people to help him build Jerusalem. And Jerusalem here is symbolic of the church, symbolic of the house of God. Hallelujah. So they decided that, okay, we are going to build. What verse am I on? Let us rise and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian, when they heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that they do? Will ye rebel against the king? And they continue talking. So they haven't even started building. But when Sanballat and Tobiah heard that these people want to build, the Bible says they laughed. What do you want to do? Imagine you haven't even started doing something, but someone is already laughing at you. So, as we are beginning these Bible study groups, because we are also going to invite people, come and be on a... There are some people who have been in churches that have been around for years. Some of the churches are older than them. Then they come and visit our Bible study group that is just beginning. And say, how many are you? Yeah, three. Hey man. How can you laugh at us? We are just starting. You come from a church that is 25 years old. You come from a church that is 50 years old. And you want to come and compare with people who are just starting. And sometimes the most surprising thing is that it is Christians who look down on other Christians more than any other person. In our Bible study group, perhaps, you know, we don't do like other Bible study groups. I don't know what they do. But because we don't behave like them, then they want to laugh at our Bible study group. Ignore such people. They don't understand that things, you know, when you want something to work, you have to start it from the beginning and you nurture it until it becomes what you want it to become. If they don't like our Bible study group, let them go to the one they like. Do you understand? But we like what we are doing. We believe in what we are doing. We are committed to what we are doing. Are you listening to me, somebody? For me to be a pastor, I had to ignore mockers. I remember when we started our first church, we started it in a school. And that school had many churches in it. And the church that was next door us, their speakers were so big that they needed wheelbarrows to bring them to the church. And we didn't even have one mic, one speaker, one keyboard. We were clapping hands. We didn't even have a pulpit. We would take the table that was in the class and then that would be our pulpit. And as I'm preaching, then the church next door, they are starting their praise and worship with a big speaker like that. With mics. So when we were preaching, we had to close all the windows. Close all the windows. And some days it was hot. But if we opened them, no one can hear what I'm saying. And I was starting and I was amongst the youngest pastor is in the school. And sometimes when I'm walking, I felt like the pastors are saying, look at these small boys, what are they trying to do? But I just, every Sunday, I said, I'm going to my church. And I would walk and I would preach like a house on fire. Today we have some speakanyan. Today we have a stage where I can climb to a stage, I can climb down. Nyana, nyana, nyana. Someone say nyana. Hey. A month ago we were marrying people. Me, this small boy who didn't have nothing. I said, from today, you are husband and you are wife. Till today, they are husband and wife. Till today, they are still husband and wife. Are you understanding? So when people are laughing at what we are, just ignore them. They don't know where we are going. We know where we are going. We know what we are doing. And we know that we are going to succeed. Put your hands together for the living God. Hallelujah. Isn't God a good thing? Isn't God good, I meant to say. Hallelujah. Let me give you one more scripture and then we close. Come with me to the book of Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. We'll be reading from verse 1. Acts chapter 8, reading from verse 1. Are you there? The Bible says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Except the apostles. Verse 2. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committed them to prison. Hallelujah. Now, in verse 1, it says that great persecution arose against the church. Every now and then, the enemy will really work super hard to destroy the church. Do you understand? And the Bible says when those tough times came, a lot of men and women of God scattered. They ran from city to city. But as they ran, what happened is that they started home churches. Do you understand? And no matter how much the devil tried to destroy, suppress the church, through this home structured type of churches, the church continued growing. Apostle Paul, before he became Apostle Paul, he even found out that these people meet in homes. And he would go to their homes during their services, drag them and send them to prison. But when you read on in about chapter 11, the Bible says that regardless of the persecution, the church continued growing. Now, these Bible study groups are very important for the preservation and the continuity of the church. In March 2020, we saw through the coronavirus, every gathering was closed. Churches couldn't meet. For the first time in my life, what's that lady's name? Pastor Makuba. Is it Pastor Makuba? I was watching one of her shows, Unity Broadcasting Network, and I saw policemen going into church. Policemen shooting church. Imagine you are coming here to worship. You are not stealing. You are not killing anyone. I saw them shooting church members with rubber bullets. I saw them taking a pastor who was praying. They took the pastor and put her in the back of a police vehicle. In times like that, when the church is under severe pressure and the church is facing persecution from government, sometimes from the community. I hear there was a church here called Synagogue, and very powerful church. That pastor was helping people, casting out demons. Very, very, very powerful. The community gathered together, came against the church, and closed the church. Finished the church. So sometimes things like that happen. But when we have this type of structure, and we have Bible study groups, people can meet in people's homes, you can never kill the church. It will be preserved. If Ramaphosa wakes up and says, no more gatherings, we just say, okay, continue. Five of you meet in that house, five of you meet in that house, and the church is going on. So this what we are doing now is not just for you and me, but it's to make sure that if Jesus tarries, our children will have a church, and our children's children will have a church, and our children will continue knowing God even though we are long gone. We are building something that will not only benefit us, but benefit that generation and the generation following them, and onwards until Jesus comes and collects all of us. Are you listening to me? So understand that you are not just doing something just for you. It's bigger than you and me. We are protecting the church. We are preserving the church. And we are making sure that the church will continue for years and years and years. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord and give Him praise. Are you being blessed, somebody? Now, I hope I have convinced you to be part of a Bible study group. Hallelujah. And some of you, it's like you stay far. Like all these Bible study groups, there's not one that is close to you. You've got two options. Either we can start one with you, or you must walk. Very simple. There is no shame in walking at all. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, Pastor, but I'm a lady and it's far. When I come back, just gather some people. Let's go. Let's go together. But you know that you are actually protecting yourself, making sure that you are not afraid. But call them, let's go. Because when they get there, you don't know. They can be touched. Their lives can be transformed. Are you listening to me? Let there be no excuse. Tell your neighbor, let there be no excuse. Everyone here must be part of a Bible study group. Everyone, everyone. Hallelujah. Yeah. Whether you are young, whether you are old, the word of God doesn't choose. Everyone must be part of a Bible study group. Hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet. I want you to pray for what the church is doing, and I want you to ask God and say, Lord, this new journey that this church is beginning of starting Bible study groups, be in it. The Bible said, Jesus said that, He said that He is the one that is building His church. Do you understand? And in John chapter 15, He said, without Him we can do nothing. So I want you to ask Him that this new thing that we are doing, it will work. Lives will be transformed. People will be healed. People will be delivered. People will be set free. People's lives will turn around for the good as they come to our Bible study groups. Hallelujah. Open your mouth. Talk to the Lord. Ask Him. Ask Him to help us. Ask Him to be with us. Ask Him to anoint the Bible study groups, that His Spirit will be amongst the people, that His Spirit will be in operation, that lives will be transformed. As people come to the Bible study groups, they will be healed, they will be delivered, they will be built up, they will be preserved. Leka paranaraba shante repatokorobo shataya. Repaka paraba shateke, rapaka paraba sheke, repakotoros. Pray, somebody, pray. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man it availeth much. When you ask God to help us, He will answer your prayers. Pray. La kapalas zopananana. Let your hand rest upon the Healing Fire Ministry Bible study groups. My God, let your people be available. Let your people be blessed by this new ministry that we are beginning. Namroshi anderebosi akapara mandelo. Repakorobosha kapala. Me kaparabashontorobosi ante. Repapaparabash. Rekaterebasokoros. Rapaterebosanterek. Repakoroboshanterebela. Mokorabashantalabakoros. Maye abaye abaye. Rabade kerereboshombea katere abayana. Rapatorobo. Apate. Ekatala. Ekaya. Ekebaya. Ayatereba chakambia proboshiana. Repakoroboshanterebe. Father, we pray in Jesus' mighty name. And the church will say aloud, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-5912-858. God bless you.